May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Everyone loves a good mystery. The mystery novel will never go out of style, and mystery television programs are more popular than ever. Who doesn't like Nordic noir? There is something in us drawn to understand and to make sense of the unknown. And when it comes to today, to Trinity Sunday, it's not unusual for preachers to note that this is a liturgical feast devoted to mystery. And then these same preachers may attempt to explain the mystery of the holy and undivided Trinity in 5 minutes or less. Now, we have all witnessed attempts to describe the Trinity. My personal favorite is a comparison of God to a potato. Sometimes he's mashed, sometimes fried, and sometimes baked. Needless to say, some attempts work better than others, but they all, in the end, fall short. And more to the point, to reduce deep mystery to what we comprehend misses an opportunity to open ourselves to divine mystery. The doctrine of the Trinity has its roots deep within Scripture, as we have heard in our readings today. And yet, as interesting and important as this is, I don't think an explanation of Trinitarian doctrine makes for a very interesting sermon. So rather than trying to shrink the mystery of God into a short explanation, it seems better to ask ourselves what the Trinity has to do with us today. In what ways does the Holy Trinity connect to our day-to-day lives? How can we be drawn more deeply into the mystery of God? Now, one of my favorite mystery novels is the series of detective stories by Dorothy Sayers, following the antics of Lord Peter Wimsey. And the best of the series, to my mind, is Gaudy Knight. Not merely because it is a good detective story, but because of the way Dorothy Sayers, through her telling of the story, points us to the mystery of relationship with God. Her use of the literary arts sheds light on our identity as bearing the image of God. And I think the use of the arts, when done well, can help bring us into the mystery of the Trinity. For art can enlighten our understanding of God, because art, on some level, is about relationship. And one of the best renditions of the Trinity is Andrei Rublev's well-known Russian icon. And do have a look at the copy you've been given in your notice sheet. Rublev's portrayal of the three persons of the Trinity gives us a picture of the relationship of God. There are three seated figures: God the Father on the left, the Son in the center, and the Holy Spirit on the right. The relationship of God here is shown as a virtuous circle. God the Father loves the Son, and that love is the Holy Spirit that returns to the Father from the Son. This is sometimes called the dance of the Trinity. And the love that unites the three persons of the Trinity is the same love extended to us in Christ. In him, we have all been invited to participate in the dance. From the very beginning of time, the love that is at the heart of God is shared with us. God's love spills out into the whole world, drawing us into relationship with God and with one another. However we try to define the Trinity, we are not able. For the Trinity, the complete being of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is there to define us, to give form and pattern to our lives. We are all invited to join in the dance of the Trinity, not merely that we might understand theologically, but so that we might experience and live the Trinity. As we enter into life with God, we become part of something bigger than ourselves. We become part of a community related to and connected with one another. As some of you know, I worked for a time in a care facility for people with dementia, and many of the people I worked with could no longer use the forms of communication that we take for granted. So rather than relying on written and even spoken word, we use drama, art, and music to aid our communication. And on one occasion, for whatever reason, I found myself explaining the Trinity to a room full of people with severe dementia. And after a few minutes of trying to explain how God was both one God and three persons, I remembered something I read about the musicality of the Trinity. And so I sat down at the piano and played the notes of a simple chord. And as we have just heard, of course, the one chord, three notes, together we hear one sound. That's the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Together they play God's one and eternal harmony. Now, when I played these simple notes in the care home that day, the people began to respond, and some of them began to sing. And so we spent the rest of the time singing old, familiar hymns. Now, I don't know if anyone there came to a deeper understanding of the Trinity, but I do know that we had an encounter with the mystery of God. And this encounter brought us into greater communion with one another. Now, over the next few weeks, we will all have an encounter with the mystery of God, as we join with others, both children and adults, as they are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what can be more relevant to the season of Trinity than baptism? For baptism is the beginning of faith. It is the welcome into the community of God. To be baptized is to be immersed in the life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is an introduction into new life, which claims every part of our being. For the new life of baptism is about community, the whole body of Christ. It is about losing ourselves to God for the life of his world. And so to celebrate Trinity Sunday is to commit ourselves anew to the life of God. It is hearing God's invitation to join the dance, not worrying if we have the right shoes, the right clothes, or even if we know the right steps. To celebrate the Trinity is to let ourselves be led, immersed, and even lost in the life-giving power of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.